It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I always get quite nervous around these things, you know, I don't know why.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here and checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button. I put out three new interviews every single week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcast, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you like to get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, actor Toby Bamtefa. We're going to be talking about the mayor of Kingstown that just wrapped its second season. Now, Toby plays Bunny, Devin Bunny Washington, full name there. So I want to hear about what it takes to play this really complex character. We'll also get into the opportunity to say big things within the show, especially when it comes to the U.S. prison system and why it's become so important to take care of his own health. Toby also going to discuss his working relationship with Jeremy Renner, of course, the star of the show, listening to Renner's music online, and coming up as a spoken word artist known as Bam Bam the Poets. All that and more, it's the second season of Mayor of Kingstown, Kyle Meredith with Toby Bamtefa.
Hey, hey, how you doing?
Congratulations on another fine season that's been going on with Kingstown here.
Thank you.
And you know, Bunny is this, I think Bunny is an epic character.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain that. You know, this is the first time we're talking, but watching your interviews and just, you know, hearing about your background and your actual self seems like the actual realized version of Bunny is so different than yourself. What is it like to get in the mindset of this character?
It's definitely an exercise. It requires a lot of research. There's also a lot of like talking to myself in my household, which my wife absolutely hates. But you know, because obviously this is not my accent. I don't have an American accent, so it's all of that. But also just the just to be able to access perhaps on a personal level, you know, parts of myself that I don't have that much access to in that sense. Like, you know, particularly through violence and things like that, just to be able to access that in order to portray somebody who is convincingly pretty scary, all things notwithstanding. But yeah, just it's definitely an exercise. It's a good one, but for me, it's like, it's right up my street. It's the kind of stuff that I try to strive towards. You know, being able to cultivate a character like that is so far different from who I am personally, is just, it's a dream. It's a lot of work. Love it.
Because that's part of the thing, right? I mean, part of this part of this gig is you get to play fantasy and you get to act.
Exactly.
But you have to find yourself. You have to find something about you that is represented in a character, right?
Yeah, 100%. And there has to be a balance. I personally, I feel anyway that you need to be able to have like a boundary in order to keep yourself anchored. So that, you know, like I said, I've got family, you know, my wife is here, I've got my in-laws, my parents, my brother and stuff. And I don't want to be going, you know, when I'm not filming, I don't want to be going to their house as some drug dealer from Michigan, you know, who murders people for money and all that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, there has to be a boundary and there has to be a very strong anchor in order to sort of pull me out of it, just so I can have a bit of respite. And also, to allow my brain to subconsciously conjure up different ways of being creative, you know?
And even getting into the character then, because that almost sounds exhausting, what you said right there, having to keep that separate. But even to be Bunny, like, and I'm talking about in the fictional sense, you know?
Yeah.
Like, here's a guy who always has to play two sides. You know, and I think you were saying in a different interview, it's, you know, when Bunny makes a decision, it's with a consideration of people's lives.
Yeah. It's very heavy. He's the position he's in is not one that a lot of people are in. So, and it's particularly, the stakes are particularly higher because we're not talking about, you know, jobs or people's livelihoods. We're talking about actual lives and, you know, and the effects and their lifestyles and also the effect of this world on their lives, you know? So yeah, any decision you make, the repercussions have to be weighed properly in order to move forward on that. And there has to be a certain element of, I guess, I don't want to call it immunity to consequence, but sort of a hardening towards it, so that whatever consequence occurs from your decision, you should be able to take it. But it's an expectation. If you're going to do something, you need to be ready and expect a retaliation of sorts. You know what I'm saying? And that's the world in which he lives, and it is a lot. It's a lot because I have to carry that into work. I have to sort of carry that essence into work and. Sort of sometimes there's a part where I do feel like, you know, certain people need to actually feel that I can like, if it was to get gully like that, you know, I can really carry that out. Obviously I'm not gonna, you know, but
and we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Toby Bamtefa. You know, when you look at people who do live this lifestyle, you know, most of them, it's not like they wanted to. You know, they didn't choose that lifestyle, you know, and maybe a few of them, you know, they're gung-ho for it. You know, there's always going to be that kind of person too, but, you know, it does feel like in that moment, like this is a show that has a chance to say really big things. Do you all think of it in that type of scope?
That's interesting, actually. I think of it, but not directly. It's always an indirect thought because my job is to focus and hone in on what the truth of the scene is, what the truth of the story is, what the truth of the character and therein. So once you do that, everything else will speak for itself. So my character, how we've cultivated Bunny is that he is this person, he's this individual who is in this world. Not by choice. I don't think anybody is there by choice. It's for a lot of people, especially, you know, African Americans who have experience in penitentiaries and stuff like that. It's often, you know, as a result of the lack of opportunities, you know, for lack of a better term. But yeah, it's all of that, and you have to be able to hone in on all of that and portray it authentically. So then. Like what you said, the wider conversations, the big conversations around that sort of just happen naturally, and then you see what you're seeing is the effects, the compound effects of all of these little lives and all of these little decisions kind of taking place, and you know why this is. Okay, this is to do with institutional racism. This is to do with nepotism. violence, trauma. People are going through a lot of psychological trauma, physical, emotional, and whatnot. So all of that compounds itself into this fantastic story, into this fantastic world of Kingstown, and the driving force being that we are in this really hot pressure cooker, surrounded by prisons, So yeah, that's how I think of it anyway.
And I mean, the prison system in itself, the way the show does get to speak for that, because if, there's lots of things that need a spotlight, and that's definitely one of them. Just what's going on. And like, you're not American. And I don't know how similar it is, where you came from. The prison system's over there. And maybe I should ask that, like how much did you get to learn about that? And how big is the difference, if any?
From what I've studied, the level, the threat of violence is I would say is pretty similar. But I feel like I do feel like there are certain I think the privatization of that whole industrial, the prison industrial complex, puts a completely different spin on it, because now we delve into the world, into a world in which your human rights, even if you have committed a crime, your human rights are now placed or in competition with profit. And so I don't think we have that much. I don't think we have that here. We don't have it in England. It's generally run at Her Majesty's prison. So it's or His Majesty's prison, rather. So it's run through the governmental body. Whereas in America, it's like, you have private prisons, and you also have prisons run by the similarities being that obviously when you're incarcerated, the threat of violence is constant, especially in men's prisons. It's constant. You sort of have to have your wits about you and that. And I would say that the things that go on within them are very universal. Everybody goes through. There are thoughts of suicide and things like that. Not to get too deep or anything like that, but a lot of the psychological traumas people have to, prisoners or the incarcerated people have to deal with, and that is definitely very universal.
Well, I mean, mental health is a part of it. As we're saying, the way the show gets to talk about those bigger subjects. You've talked about that, being mental health as being a big part of your daily routine. And, 10 years ago, we didn't talk about that at all. And that has changed, and why was that such a big, important turning point for yourself?
Because when I was going through certain troubles, it got really heavy for me. But I knew I was very conscious of it. So I actively tried to do things, and a lot of my decision making was geared towards kind of pulling myself out of it. I think that for the most part, people aren't aware that they are going through certain things. Some people just take whatever situation they're in as normal, and obviously I keep using this word compounding, but it has a compounding effect, over a certain amount of time. So I don't know how to explain this, but just speaking for myself anyway, I like I said, I did things and I made decisions in order to pull myself out of the depression that I was in. And I tried to actively engage with it and sort of understand what it is. I had no one to talk to because nobody knew what it was. My friends didn't know what it was. But I just knew that I couldn't escape how I was feeling, and I couldn't ignore it. It was so much. So yeah, eventually, obviously, years later, we start finding out, there were actually words to these feelings, depression, anxiety, to thoughts of self-harm and all that kind of stuff. Not that I've gone through any of that personally, but I know people who have. And now we sort of start discovering new processes of attaching a name to it so that you can actually address it, And I think that's helped a lot of people. But the stigma around it, particularly for men, is that we're not supposed to be able to do these things. Otherwise, we're seen as soft, or we're seen as incapable, or, and if you start talking about your emotions, you are sort of outside the parameters of what a man is supposed to be, like everybody's supposed to be, Clint Eastwood and whatnot, and stoic and silent and, that kind of stuff. It's just, it's not very realistic.
And then to remember, Clint Eastwood was an actor, you know, an actor.
Exactly. You know,
John Wayne was an actor.
Exactly. So, exactly.
Projection is a character, but that's what it does. I mean, the people buy into these characters, you know, and they do. And,
yeah.
And I'll turn that back around to say the way you all do handle that, the way you all treat that is so important, and you do it so well, you know, and showing the multitudes of people, you know, that, you know, the good and bad are gray words sometimes, you know, and yeah. I do think that's important, that just showing those layers of people. And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Toby Bantefa. Of course, you've got Jeremy Renner here. When I watch the two of you all work with each other, you know, I wrote down, you know, it happens a lot, of course, but the third episode of this second season, I think it's called like 5 and 5 or something close to that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I was watching you all, and it's like a slow dance that you're doing with each other.
I agree, yeah.
I don't know if you can put words to this, but why does it work so well, your all's working relationship?
I think in my experience anyway, I don't know what it's like for Jeremy, but I know when I'm working with him, it feels, I feel like I'm allowed to play. Excuse me, I'm allowed to play. So it becomes very fluid. I know that the script, the production isn't precious about the script. What they want is the story to make sense. So if certain lines don't make any sense, or if certain words don't, you know, and they, you know, you could quite easily take that out. But what needs to be important is the truth of it. And I remember actually in season one, I did ask Jeremy my first day on set. I did ask him kind of what, you know, what's your process like, and he just said it quite bluntly. You know, it's our focus on the truth of the scene. And I took that to heart, and I took that and I ran with it. So I was like, cool. So with that, and because I'm dealing with an expert, do you know what I'm saying? So because of that, I actually feel quite safe around it, because I know that, okay, cool. He's coming. So I'm prepared for it, and I know he's prepared for it. So we sort of just play around. We play with it, with the scene, and find what works. There are several takes we have, each of them all have something very different. They vary. And I guess in post, what you're seeing is literally just a smidgen of what, you know, of what we had worked on. And it gets really exciting. I can spend all day talking about this. I can spend all day on set. Do you know what I mean? Because it's just working like that is just so amazing. It's light. It's my love. I love it.
I wonder though, off camera, you know, he's a DJ. Do you all break out the music conversations much?
No, not really. But he doesn't know this, but I know I listen to some of his songs. He's got a couple of songs on YouTube as well. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy can actually rock, you know. He's all right. He's actually all right.
It's really good about that.
It's not surprising.
But you came from that world too, right? I mean, you started, did I read that right? A spoken word artist?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I had my stage name was Bam Bam the Poet. So I was pretty good. I was pretty good, I think. Anyway, I was in the London circuit. So did little pop up shows here and there and stuff like that. But I did it with a view of getting into acting. So I come from my whole family are actors, or not my whole family, but my parents are actors, and my whole family are generally quite artistic. So I feel like spiritually, I come from a very long line of storytellers, you know. And people who are sort of connected to our lineage and, you know, and our spirituality. That's the line that I come from. So it's my brother and I kind of channel that into everything that we do. It's that. Yeah.
That's beautiful though. I mean, just having that support, having that, you know, inspiration, having that education that's there if you need it. And I love the way you're in a family of storytellers. It's, you know, because it shows.
Yeah.
You know, it shows. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. It's a great resource to tap into. I mean, if you meet my parents, they're both just individually, they're both hilarious people. But my dad, especially, when he turns on the seriousness on stage and on screen and stuff, man, you feel it. And it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know he could do that. He scares me as a child, you know, when I was a child and stuff. But, my brother as well. My brother is a graphic designer, and you can sometimes tell in his designs his mood, you know. So he channels all of that into his creativity, and yeah, it's I guess Do you know what? That's actually the first time I'm saying that. It's the first time I've actually voiced that. I've never voiced that before. So that's an exclusive.
It's a beautiful exclusive. I do love that part of your story. I love what you're doing with this character and what you've been doing on some of the other roles. I'm excited to see what's next from you as well. Toby, congrats on it all. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. And it's been a wonderful conversation. And yeah, man, have a great day, man.
My thanks to Toby Bentefa, Mayor of Kingstown. The second season is out in full on Paramount Plus. Thanks to you for checking out the series. Again, please do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. That way you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out. Three new ones every single week, new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. Of course, you can also find me on the social media spots as well. That's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all three of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's good. I need to open the windows. I'm sweating. I'm joking. It's fine. It's fine.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.